Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Look for the women and children of Ed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Iowa State head coach T.J. Otzelberger. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And check out collegehoopstoday.com for news, stories, content, and analysis, and all the podcast archives you want on college basketball. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. And that's John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know, it's easy bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, go to quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, an interesting time right now in college basketball. Unlike last season, in terms of this time of year, because of the pandemic, we have all teams, all programs finally getting back to campus. This is huge for player development. It's huge for camaraderie and chemistry development, but we are still waiting for full clarity heading into next season. 3 weeks from Wednesday is July 7th. That is the date that the NCAA has listed as the early entry withdrawal deadline for the 2021 NBA draft. The draft's going to be held on July 29th. Once we get to July 7th, we should have an idea of what rosters are going to look like for next season. Then we can push forward as we will each and every year here with our conference preview packages. And obviously, one of the previews we're going to look to during the summer months is going to be the Big 12. And that brings us to our guest, T.J. Otzelberger, was an assistant at Iowa State under Greg McDermott, under Fred Hoiberg, under Steve Prohm. Did a great job at South Dakota State, led the Jackrabbits to the NCAA tournament, took over at UNLV. Now he takes over Iowa State, a program that has hit a low point the last couple of years. Transfers have always been a big part of the fabric of Iowa State basketball. They've got one of the great home courts in the sport in Hilton Coliseum. But T.J. Otzelberger is also taking over a job in a conference where 60% of the league's coaches, 6 out of 10, have coached in a Final Four. Some of the other ones, too, have had great success in the NCAA tournament. Jamie Dixon, obviously, has made it all the way to an Elite Eight. Mike Boynton, obviously, a very talented young coach. Really, really unbelievable coaching in the Big 12 Conference. Obviously, it lost, obviously, an elite coach in Lon Kruger, but it added a Final Four caliber coach in Porter Moser. So again, 60% of the coaches in the Big 12 Conference have coached in the Final Four. How will T.J. Otzelberger stack up with that? We'll find out when Iowa State's newly minted head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Iowa State begins a new chapter under T.J. Otzelberger, who is well-versed with the Cyclones program and its history. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. T.J., what do you think your reaction would have been 10 years ago if somebody told you that in 2021 you'd be the head coach at Iowa State?
Yeah, there would be, I'd be elated, overjoyed, enthusiastic, excited. We'd go on from there. Iowa State means the world to me, personally, professionally. I've grown up as a college coach at Iowa State. There's so many people and relationships that are important to me here. And my wife played here. We met at Iowa State. So it's just, it's really personal for me. It's a great honor. And I couldn't even imagine if somebody would ask me that 10 years ago. To say a dream come true sounds far too cliche.
Well, let's fast forward now to a couple of months ago. What were your initial thoughts and feelings when you found out that there was a chance that the Iowa State job could open?
Well, I was certainly excited, and there's not many times, you know, we all embark on this journey professionally, and there's certain places that are special to you, and no place more than Iowa State. You know, and it's a lot of reasons. Again, it's the people, the relationships. It's Jamie Pollard, you know, belief in him and his vision as the athletics director. So when we thought it might be a possibility, there was certainly some excitement there. A little bit of mixed feelings because I had been at UNLV for two seasons. And, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you take on these opportunities, that you do the best to build it and grow those programs. And we were still in that process there. Yet at the same time, Iowa State so special to me, and this was the one opportunity that was truly unique to pull us away.
Well, and there's obviously so many positive feelings when you're going to what is considered to be a dream job, but there's also the other side of this. What was it like telling your team at UNLV, which you had mentioned that you had been building for the last couple seasons, that you were leaving to take another post?
Yeah, that's a challenging position to be in because you're building something with those young men. You talk to them about commitment and following through and the vision of everything that you're going to accomplish together and the hard work every day. And then it's a tough feeling because you feel like you're letting them down. You're not following through on that side of the commitment from a coach's standpoint. And then, you know, when you have to do it over a Zoom call, that brings different challenges. It doesn't feel as personal. It doesn't feel as connected as you want it to feel. So it's hard on that end, but you know what? You know, there's the timing in these situations is never ideal, and you don't know when things are going to happen, and so it's a good life lesson, as hard as it is, even for young people, that, you know, these type of things happen, and we all have to do our best to regroup, adapt, adjust, and move on.
Iowa State head coach T.J. Otzelberger joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you know, the Mountain West Conference has, you know, several high-profile programs, not necessarily considered to be a power conference like the Big 12, but UNLV is considered to be, you know, a power conference caliber program. What's the biggest difference in T.J. Otzelberger as a head coach after serving as the head coach at UNLV versus when you came from South Dakota State?
Well, each opportunity is a chance to learn and grow. And as you mentioned, when I was at South Dakota State, you know it's a one-bid league. It's always been a one-bid league. And there's different, you know, there's a different way to coach a team in that situation. You absolutely need to be playing your best basketball at the end of the year coming into the conference tournament. It doesn't mean we all don't want to be playing our best at that time. It's just in those leagues, you know, those three games in 3 days makes all the difference. So when you go to a league where you have a chance to be a multi-bid league and you've seen teams, you know, whether it had been Reno or San Diego State or Utah State, some that had been put themselves in that position, you know, you're coaching against better teams, more veteran teams, teams that are of a higher caliber. So you've got to be more on your A game every single day. You've got to coach in a manner that you know not only is a league – the conference season really important, but every game matters throughout the course of the season when you're trying to play in a league like that. So as you get ready to come into the Big 12, I know, you know, I've lived in this, you know, been in this league 8 seasons, know the challenges that it brings about. But, you know, the Mountain West is a really good league, and I think it really helped prepare us for this opportunity.
And this opportunity is going to bring, obviously, a different weight class. 6 of the 10 coaches in the Big 12 have been to a Final Four. There's a 7th, Jamie Dixon, that has been to an Elite Eight and lost on a buzzer beater shot when he was at Pittsburgh. What is it like as a coach to step into that type of a weight class?
Well, it's a great feeling. It's an honor because, you know, there's a lot of Hall of Famers in this league. A lot of coaches I've coached against as an assistant, have a lot of respect for. Some I've learned from and have a personal relationship with. And so I couldn't have a higher opinion of those coaches. And, you know, you want to compete against the best. It makes you work your hardest, strive, you know, to continue to get better and improve and be at your best. And we have a lot of respect for those coaches. Yet at the same time, we're confident in our process and what we do each and every day to get ourselves at a point where we're competitive and moving forward with our state program.
And if you want to obviously be a factor in a league that has coaching of that caliber, you have to have some things already on your side, and you have that in Hilton Coliseum, which is obviously one of the great home court advantages in college basketball. For you personally, what is your favorite all-time moment that you've experienced at Hilton Coliseum?
Well, Hilton is truly a special environment. And as I've traveled the country, worked in different conferences, been at a lot of games, there's nothing like that feeling of walking down that ramp in Hilton. And, you know, there's so many great memories. You know, I would say for me, one of the best was a game we were playing against Iowa. We were down big at half, about 20. Felt like Jared Utoff had like 30 points. And our team had an unbelievable comeback run. We had to chip away through the entire second half, and we kind of stole one late as we didn't play our best in that first half. But it just really reinforces that at Hilton Coliseum, anything is possible. You know, the fans are behind you, the energy, the atmosphere, the excitement. So no lead is safe for an opponent, and that's probably the one memory that stands out the most to me.
Iowa State head coach T.J. Otzelberger joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you have had the unique training that's probably necessary to seamlessly take over at Iowa State, because you've worked there for Greg McDermott, you've worked there for Fred Hoiberg, and you've worked there for Steve Prohm. What are the biggest things that you learned under these three different regimes that, you know, you have taken away that you're going to implement as you now take over as the steward of the Cyclones program?
I think, first of all, you've got to be true to yourself. And you mentioned those coaches. I mean, learned a lot from each one of them. All really good men who have had a lot of success, whether it's here or other places. So you take things from each coach that you work for. And, you know, really what I've learned is, you know, Iowa State is very unique. You see what, you know, when we were under Coach Hoiberg, we really tried to identify finding the right guys for us, guys who had pride in this program, guys that, you know, had the blue collar lunch pail mentality, work ethic. I think back to some of those teams and those memories and all the guys getting that extra work in the gym. You look now, even what the Iowa State football program is doing, and it's they're doing it with guys that are three-star type of players, but they're developing that culture. It's really focused on player development, finding the right guys, and being better as a team. So what we're going to look at doesn't mean we're not going to recruit high-level talent and guys that are four- and five-star players, but the niche at Iowa State is to find guys who really want to be there, who understand what it means to be a Cyclone, which, again, it's the blue collar, it's the player development. It's the guys we mentioned, you know, earlier, the George Niangs, the guys who come in, have that chip on their shoulder, want to play together as a group. And so we're going to look to find those guys and continue to develop that chemistry, you know, year in and year out.
You know, I had mentioned that you had worked for Greg McDermott. You are slated to play Creighton this year as part of the Big East Big 12 battle. What do you think that's going to be like?
You know, it's a tough situation because Greg is a mentor. He's one of my best friends. I wouldn't have the opportunities I've had in this profession if it wasn't for Greg. So I hate that we have to play a game where one of us is going to have to take a loss because of, you know, how much I think of him and want to see him be successful. Yet we both know we're competitors. It's an exciting opportunity for both fan bases because it's a game only a few hours down the road. You know, unique because even, you know, Greg's first year at Creighton, we played against Creighton under Coach Hoiberg's regime at Iowa State. And it was a game in Des Moines with a sellout crowd. So it'll be an exciting atmosphere and a great college basketball game. Unfortunately, from my perspective, one of us has to lose because Greg's certainly someone I'm pulling for, you know, each and every night when we're not playing him, for sure.
You know, you mentioned Coach Hoiberg, and he's obviously somebody because of his, you know, production level and career he had as a player and a coach is so revered in the Ames community. Would T.J. Otzelberger ever think about bringing Fred Hoiberg back to Hilton Coliseum now as part of a home-and-home series with the Cyclones and Nebraska?
You know, it's something at this point that, you know, Fred and I hadn't discussed. You know, when we look at the schedule, you know, we want to have those, you know, competitive games. We want to have, you know, rivalry games with teams that are, you know, locals, so the travel isn't as far. They're exciting opportunities for our fans. You know, and that's something that as time moves forward, if the schedule lines up the right way and it works for them and it works for us, it's certainly something that we'd be open to. So I know Fred's got a lot on his plate, as we do right now, and schedule for us for next year is set, and there's not a whole lot of choices to make, but that's something we would be open to as we move forward.
Iowa State head coach T.J. Otzelberger joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. T.J., what's your thoughts on the roster that you've put together here in the offseason you're going to take into year one?
You know, I really like the group that we've assembled. We came in, felt like there were certainly some areas we needed to address in terms of experience, physicality on the interior, and shooting. Those are really the three that we tried to address in the short term. We're fortunate to keep six players from last year's ball club. The addition of Tyrese Hunter, freshman point guard, who we believe is a special talent and someone that we have a lot of confidence in right out of the chute. And then we added six transfers. And again, if you look at the guys we've added, guys that are more proven, guys that have shooting ability, physicality on the front line, and experience. So, you know, as you go into the Big 12, you know, this league, I believe, is the best in the country. You've got to have a lot of ways to win basketball games, and you've got to have depth. You've got to compete on the glass, and you've got to have that physical mentality. And you see the teams in our league that have been the most successful have been able to enact that. And so something we're certainly going to try to employ. And, you know, we think we've got a good roster to do that here in our first year.
Well, you take over a team that went 2-22 next season. Considering the newcomers that you've assembled, other than Tyrese Hunter, who do you think will have the biggest impact for Iowa State next season?
Well, we look to guys like Gabe Kelscher and Isaiah Brockington, who have, you know, been consistent starters and producers in the Big Ten, guards with size, length, physicality, versatility, a defensive mindset. You know, Kelscher has 86 starts under his belt, at Minnesota. Brockington average almost 13 a game, athletic wing, guard who can do a lot, plays downhill, athletic playmaker. So those two guys have already proven, you know, at this level or the high major level that they can be production guys. Aljaz Kunch is exciting to me. Really came on late in the season for Washington State last year. A guy that had some big rebound games, can knock down the three-point shot. And then Tristan Inaruna, somebody that, you know, came into Kansas as a highly acclaimed, you know, top 75 type player, a guy who is one of the top scorers in the European basketball, you know, competing against other groups. And we look to really, you know, put him in a different situation and build his confidence. So, you know, those guys all seem, you know, like they're ready to make those contributions. And then with Caleb Grill, a guy that led us in minutes played at UNLV, a guy who's a competitor, a defender, and can make open shots. So I think all those guys can have a really big impact for us.
Well, we've talked about obviously what you're going to be going against, and you've obviously restocked your roster. I know it's tough on, you know, a day in the middle of June to forecast what you want your expectations to be for next season, but considering how difficult the conference is, considering that you take over a team that won just 2 out of 24 games, what's the biggest things that you want to accomplish in your first year as head coach at Iowa State?
Daily work habits at the start of it. Our guys, you know, we need to know how to work each and every day, how to attack that work in front of us. We need to play with program pride, not just, on the nights of the games, but during practice. There needs to be a sense of pride in playing for Iowa State and the Cyclones that we're going to put out, you know, every single night. I think there needs to be a work capacity. Our guys need to expand further in terms of what we're doing on a daily basis, what they're demanding from themselves when they're away from us. You know, we talk to our guys, and again, as we get them back here for summer school, they hear over and over, tough, hardworking, and competitive. Those are the things that Iowa State basketball needs to be about. If those are, you know, if we can enact those attributes on a daily basis, you know, when the games come, we believe we'll put ourselves in position to win. But we can't get ahead of ourselves. The process is certainly important. yet I have so much pride in Iowa State and Central Iowa. We didn't come here for a rebuild. You know, we're excited to get things going and get to work.
Well, TJ, we appreciate a couple of minutes, man. I know how busy you are. Obviously, stay safe during the current circumstances in the world, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate you and really respect the work that you do.
We'd like to thank Iowa State head coach T.J. Otzelberger for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And also a reminder to check out collegehoopstoday.com for news, columns, opinions, analysis, and all the podcast archives you want. Each and every day will be updated with fresh content. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Maxwell Smart, and it's, John, do you expect a lot of players to transfer mid-season, given there will be more than usual internal competition for minutes due to the COVID year being granted in terms of immediate eligibility in additional years? This is an interesting perspective because in studying rosters around college basketball, one of the things you're starting to find more and more is that many programs are going to have more than 13 players on scholarship because the NCAA allowed college players to have an additional year of eligibility due to COVID-19. It's going to be fascinating to see how that works out, because anybody who follows college basketball knows generally the really good teams play 7 or 8 players. So if you're going to have 14, 15 players on a roster, how is a coach going to manufacture and mold a rotation? Going to be a pretty fascinating storyline to figure out. And also, I looked up this stat, you know, via the transfer portal over the weekend and did some research. As of right now, a little bit over 35% of the players who had a scholarship and entered the transfer portal currently do not have a new school. So about 35% of the guys who went into the transfer portal have not yet found a new school. This is, again, an unintended consequence of the rule. I know the rules are the way they are, but we have to look at it from all angles. That is an interesting dynamic as we sit right here in the middle of June. And our next question is going to come from Vince Rotimer, and it's, John, what do you think Jeff Capel will have to do to turn Pitt around? He has been there a couple of years. What is the status of Pitt basketball? Well, Pitt has been obviously a victim of this transfer portal in a negative way because it's lost consistently some of the best players in its program. Trey McGowan's went to Nebraska. Xavier Johnson's went to Indiana. Audis Tony's went to Arkansas. It's difficult to build and sustain, again, when you have all these kind of defections in your program. Now, on the positive, Pitt hit a home run with its evaluation of Justin Champagne, who did an unbelievable job last year for the Pitt Panthers. But Pitt is going to have to obviously mold a roster together in an ACC that is going through a major, major transition. And we talked about this a little bit last week. North Carolina is going to now be led by Hubert Davis and not Roy Williams. It's a transition. Duke is transitioning from Mike Krzyzewski to John Shire. You know, you're seeing a different type of feel in the ACC. It's a different type of dynamic than we've been used to. It's going to be interesting to see who can emerge and solidify themselves at the top of this conference as some of the blue blood programs in the sport are going through a transition. And 5 good nuggets are being brought to you this week by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, go to quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now let's get to those nuggets.
5 good nuggets.
5. 5.
6.
No, 5.
but you were close.
Nugget number one, Rutgers is two decisions away from being an NCAA tournament team. I talked about July 7th as the NCAA's early entry withdrawal deadline for the NBA draft. Rutgers has two key players going through that process, Geo Baker, Ron Harper Jr. If both go back to Piscataway, Rutgers will be back in the NCAA tournament. Nugget number two, foreign tours are back. Indiana announced last week that they will take a six-day foreign tour to the Bahamas in August. It's a tremendous sign, not just for college basketball, but for normality in general for society. Nugget number three, leader of the pack. How about Grant Sherfield's final 10 games of last season for Nevada? Averaged 19.4 points, 7.7 assists. He'll be one of the top guards in the country next season, and Nevada should be better than they were a year ago. Nugget number four, roster management. I mentioned this, and this is a big thing to keep in mind. A lot of teams next season are going to have more than 13 players on scholarship. How are these coaches going to mold these rotations? And nugget number five, remember the name. One non-power conference player that's not getting a lot of attention but should be a household name next season, Richmond's Tyler Burton. 6'7", averaged 12 and 7.6 rebounds last year as a sophomore. Really promising long-term prospect. And the Spiders, because they got so many guys back with the additional year of eligibility, guys like Nick Sherrod, Grant Golden, Nathan Kayo, Richmond to me looks like the top challenger to St. Bonaventure in the Atlantic 10. We'd like to thank Iowa State head coach TJ Otzelberger for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.